Holy Spirit, would you take these words and speak to us through them, I ask, in Jesus' name. There were two little kids laying on gurneys in the hospital outside the operating room, and one of them turned to the other and said, "What are you in for?" And the second one said, "I'm getting my tonsils out, and I'm really frightened." And the first boy said, "I had that done when I was 4 years old. They put you to sleep, and then when you wake up, you get ice cream and Jell-O. So it's no big deal." And so the second kid said to the first one, "What are you in for?" And the first boy said, "I'm in for a circumcision." And the second boy said, "Whoa, I had that done when I was born. I couldn't walk for a year after that." Well, there are a lot of things we might have done or had done to us that we'd like to forget. And that was certainly the case in St. Paul's life. So I'd like you to take out your bulletins, if you would, and turn to the second lesson we heard read from Philippians. Paul is describing his life before he came to Christ, and also now that he's come to Christ, what his life is like. And so Paul had a number of things that he would want to have forgotten, that he would forget and want to put behind him. And the first thing is, of course, his reliance upon his Judaism for his salvation. He was raised as a Jew and in the Pharisaical tradition, which is one of the strictest forms of Judaism. And as he was raised as a Pharisee, he grew up to believe that salvation came by keeping the law and by keeping all the rituals and the Jewish customs that were established for them. And so as he lived that sort of life, now that he had come to Christ, he realized that his thinking was all wrong related to salvation. And so he had to forget what he had learned all of his life and put that behind him. He also had to put behind him some of the things that he had done. He had persecuted Christians. He had had them arrested. He had been complicit in the death of many Christians. And so he no doubt had to put that behind him, putting the guilt of what he had done behind him as well. So there were a lot of things that Paul had to forget. And so as Paul put those things behind him, then he felt free for the first time, I imagine. He felt free from the burden that he was carrying, and now he felt free to do something different. And we see that in verse 14 he said, now he's free to press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So Paul was looking forward to receiving a prize. Now we all like to receive prizes, don't we? I mean, we hear about things like the Publisher's Clearinghouse Prize, it's $1,000 a day for life or whatever, and I remember looking forward to getting a box of Cracker Jack, because at the bottom of that box you always find a prize. So we love to get prizes, and certainly Paul was looking forward to a prize. But in his case, he was speaking about prizes, probably having in mind the sort of prize that they gave out at the end of a race that was run. And he talks about that sort of prize in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 when he says this, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to gain a crown that will last forever. Therefore I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." There are different races that were run in those days, and just as there are today, different races. There are short races, which we might call sprints, and then there are longer races, and probably one of the longest, of course, is the marathon, 26.2 miles. And I imagine if Paul was describing life, he would be describing it as running a marathon rather than a sprint. And so in a marathon race, you have a starting line and you have a finish line. But in between there are many difficult miles that need to be run. I'd like to share with you some of my experiences running a marathon. But I've never run a marathon, so I can't share that with you today. However, I did run track in high school, and I remember running the 880 one time. And it almost killed me. And I determined after that that the idea of running is way blown up, way out of proportion that it should be. So I read an article by a marathoner, and he says this: I've learned that running marathons, that the first 20 miles are not so bad. The last 6.2 is what gets you. Something in, if not all things, in your body is hurting. Energy is depleted, fatigue has set in, and everything within you wants to stop. That's when you have to press toward the finish line. Life is really like a marathon. As we move on closer and closer to the end of our lives, we find that things begin to happen. Our bodies begin to break down. We begin to face seemingly more and more problems. It seems like we see the doctor more than we see our own kids. Things just kind of fall apart as we grow older, it seems like. And one of the things that we recognize is that there are things that happen to us that really challenge our ability to finish the race. Sometimes we look at life and we realize that there are so many things that are going well, so many things that are fine, but then there are some things that are really unpleasant. Things like relationship problems, failed marriages, rebellious children, sickness, disease, heartache, depression. Energy gets depleted, fatigue sets in, and everything within you wants to stop. So you have to keep running the race, Paul would say. Keep running the race till you reach the finish line. But the question is, what do we need to do in order to get to the finish line? How can we get there? How can we finish the race? Well, I think there are three things that might be helpful for us. The first thing is that what the Bible calls fixing our eyes on Jesus. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. In other words, keeping our minds as focused as we can upon Jesus as much as we can. And as we do that, we recognize that He is the one who has already run the race. He's the one who knows how to get through the race, and He can get us through the race as well. He is one who really has given us the ability to keep from making those wrong turns or getting off the track. And He will certainly keep us nourished and hydrated by His Word and by the Holy Spirit. God's Word says in Hebrews chapter 12, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus knew what it was like to go through difficult times. He knew what it was like to face pain. He knew what it was like to face rejection. He knew what it was like to face hardship in His life. And so He made it through the race, and He promises to give us the ability to get through the race as well, as we put our trust in Him, as we seek help from Him. He strengthens us for our journey. He sustains us. He helps us to persevere as we yoke ourselves together with Him. He'll even carry us when we seemingly can't go on anymore in our lives. Rest assured, He's going to get us to the finish line if we put our trust in Him. The marathoner to which I referred earlier said this: in each marathon that I have run, there's a finisher's shirt and a medal or some other prize that are given for finishing. They are nice, but they're like the things of this world. They are temporary and nothing compared to the eternal reward given to Christ's followers. I like what James says in his epistle, in chapter 1. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him. So there is a prize that awaits us in our lives if we persevere to the end. No reward on earth can even come close. The race that we are running is to receive a prize. So if we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, He'll get us to the finish line. But we also want to keep our eyes fixed upon the prize that awaits us. And that prize, of course, is eternal life. There is a joy and a life to be found in the life to come that we can't even imagine. We can't even comprehend what that's going to be like. It doesn't even include the rewards that we're going to receive from the things that we do on this earth. So finally, we're also supposed to help others along the way. This race is not just about winning the race. It's not just about gaining the prize. It's not just about getting rewards. But it's also about helping other runners along the way. We have an opportunity to help those outside of the kingdom of God to come to know Jesus Christ. And they can, too, enter into the race along with us. We also are called to help our brothers and sisters in Christ, to help them to finish the race, to give them encouragement and hope when they get discouraged or when they get down, to help them to fight and continue to run the race. We can help them by praying for them, giving them some sort of spiritual help if we can, and maybe even some type of physical help. With the help of his father, Jim Redmond, an injured Derek Redmond completed his race in the 1992 Olympics. The stadium was packed with 65,000 people. They were all anticipating this particular race. And so the race began, and Redmond breaks from the pack, and he quickly heads to the lead. And as he is running, he reaches the about 125 meters left. And as he is approaching that, something happens. He hears a pop. And it feels like someone has shot him in the leg with a gun. His hamstring is torn. And he limps along and finally falls to the track. And as the medical personnel are coming out toward him, his father sees what has happened way up in the stands. And so he begins to run down the stands, kind of bumping people aside and trying what he can to do to get to the bottom, to get to the track. He doesn't have any credentials to get on the track, but nothing is going to deter him from getting to his son. When the medical people approach him, they bring a stretcher out, and he waves them off. He says, "No, I'm going to finish the race." And so he begins slowly to raise himself up on his one good leg and begin to limp along. And the crowd sees that he's not going to go off to the side of the track and stop running, but he's going to keep the race going to the end. And so they rise as well, and the roar becomes more and more as they see him running. So finally, as he's getting closer and closer to the finish line, his father reaches the edge of the bleachers and leaps over the railing, and he escapes one guard, one security officer, and he's running toward his son, and a couple of other security people are chasing him, and he yells back to him, "That's my son! I'm going to help him!" And so he reaches his son, and when he reaches his son, he leans over and whispers to him, he puts his arm around him and says, "I'm here, son, we're going to finish this race." And so he puts his arm around his son, and his son puts his head on his father's shoulder and just begins to sob. And together they begin to walk together to finish the race to the roar and adulation of the crowd. And when they finally reach the finish line, the father kind of stepped back and allowed his son to finish the race on his own. And then when he finished, he went and embraced his son, and they both were crying on each other's shoulders. The crowd was going crazy. All because his father came to the rescue of his son, was Derek able to finish that race. How is God calling you to help those outside of the kingdom of God? How's God calling you to help those in the church, those inside the kingdom? I've heard a number of our members say how much the support of their fellow members means to them, how it has helped them to get through a difficult time. And perhaps your support, your help to someone, might be able to help them to finish the race. So put the past behind you. Forget what is in the past. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Don't lose sight of the prize. And remember the other runners that are running the race with you. C.S. Lewis once said, "If you aim at heaven, you get earth thrown in. If you aim at earth, you get neither." Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you have called us to run this race on earth. Lord, though it may be difficult at times, though it may seem impossible for us to finish the race, Lord, with your help and your strength, we can get through any trial, any trouble that may face us, any sickness that we may encounter. Lord, we thank you that you will give us the ability to cross that finish line. We look forward to that prize that awaits us of eternal life. We look forward to the glories of heaven. But while we're on this earth, Lord, help us to be of aid and help to those fellow runners running the race along with us. Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we might be able to not only finish our race, but help others as well. I ask this in your name.
Amen. Amen.